You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Imagine waking up to a world that's as clear as your dreams. With Zeiss Smile technology, this is your reality. At Fichte Endel and Elmer Eye Care, our mission is your vision. Conducted by a team of expert surgeons leveraging leading-edge technology, our procedure is safeguarded, swift, and tailored to your eye care needs. Say goodbye to the limits of glasses or contacts. Embrace a world where your vision can keep pace with your life's aspirations. Contact us today at 800-309-2020 or visit us online at ficta.com. At Fichte Endel and Elmer Eye Care, we are focused on you.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown. I put in extra work that just can't be found. Work. I took the sword out, the stone wasn't a thing. Look me in my eyes cause I'm a king.
I'm a king.
Look me in my eyes cause I'm a king.
I'm a king.
God made me punch in inaccurate numbers.
Yeah.
My castle won't crumble.
Nah.
What I tackle will fumble.
Yeah.
I've been a leader when they ain't see it, but now my feet
it's up.
According to me, royalty didn't end with King Tut.
Nah.
Crown on my head, clouds is at my legs.
Yeah.
Big says sky is the limit. I look down on the ledge.
The
I push the bar like I'm opening a cell. Hands in my cookie jar, you won't come out with a single nail.
You
I need
gone.
All of mine. The weight of my shoulders won't fit on a scale. What's a king to a giant?
What?
Well, Goliath fell. Even if we playing chess, dog, this king can't be checked. I make all my moves on the board, I invented my steps.
Uh-huh.
I'm a king, the blood of a ruler, I feel like Mansa Musa. Make your squad disappear like landing by the Bermuda. Triangle, look at it from my angle. I'm a king, the closest thing to being one of God's angels.
Yeah. I'm a king.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Crown.
I put in extra work that just can't be found.
Work.
I took the sword out, the stone wasn't a thing.
Dang.
Look me in my eyes cause I'm a king.
I'm a king.
Look me in my eyes cause I'm a king.
King.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. This is the Code of Conduct with the King podcast. I am your host, Jay Spencer King, and it's Tuesday, November 14th, and it is not a Victory Tuesday. It is not a Victory Tuesday, and everybody in Buffalo, everybody in Western New York, all Bills fans alike, everywhere around the country, was hoping that this morning would be a morning that we would be able to wake up in a good mood and talk about how the Buffalo Bills dominated the Denver Broncos and are now sitting at 6-4, headed into a game with momentum that's a rematch from the week one loss to the New York Jets, the Aaron Rodgers-less New York Jets, who are now coming to Western New York next weekend with a solid defense that the Bills always seem to struggle against. We were hoping that we could talk about that game with, you know, with some positivity and go into that discussion after looking at last night's game and saying that the Bills have fixed their issues on the offensive side of the ball. And even with the injuries on defense, that we are able to put together a complete game. That's not what you're going to hear from me today. Now, I want to start this off by saying, I fully respect the analytics, the DVOA, the PFF, the All-22 team. Like, everybody that does this type of content, everyone who talks about the team in context of statistical achievements and listen, I respect it. I understand it. I appreciate you. But no more. No more. First, let's start where I put the blame. Josh Allen has to stop turning the ball over. Josh Allen has to stop turning the ball over. Last week, I talked about how I miss the sugar high Josh in the sense of him having the freedom to be creative and to do things. And then I went on to say he has to protect the ball this season after week one. And I felt like he did a little bit better of a job this season as far as protecting the ball. I felt like he's been doing a lot better as far as his accuracy is concerned. I feel like, you know, Josh Allen is doing things this season that reminds us that he's very good. If you listen to Bruce's pod last week, you'll be reminded that, you know, Josh is still among the league's best in every category. That's why he's near the top when it comes to Stew. Okay. Love you, Bruce, but not today. Last night, what I saw from Josh Allen was embarrassing when you talk about being a Bills fan. I know a lot of us want to put everything on James Cook. That first fumble, absolutely egregious. I can't defend him. But that handoff, that was a fumble, and I'm not going to put that on James Cook. I know a lot of people do, but to me, that's a Josh Allen turnover. Then the interception to Gabe Davis, obviously, that went off Gabe's hands. That's on Gabe. But then you're being careless with the ball, and you're throwing another one. The stats that every single broadcast now, they're sharing on these broadcasts. Josh Allen leads the league in turnovers since 2019, since 2018. Josh Allen leads the league in turnovers. He leads the league in total touchdowns, but he leads the league in turnovers. And if you want to look to one reason why I feel like the Buffalo Bills do not have a Lombardi trophy since Josh Allen has become the quarterback, it's because of the turnovers. Every week, win or loss, I post, I love you, Josh Allen, and that remains true. There's things that Josh Allen does that makes me say I wouldn't trade my quarterback for any other quarterback in the world. But there comes a time when your quarterback being the best player in your team also means that they're the smartest person on your team. And by smartest, I'm not questioning whether Josh Allen is smart or not. But what I'm saying is he makes a lot of dumb decisions during the game. And if your best player isn't protecting the football, it doesn't matter how great Stephon Diggs is. It doesn't matter how well the defense plays. And for everybody who wants to be upset about the defense, first, look, I'm with you. The 12 men on the field, you cannot excuse that. At the end of the game, you finally actually do enough to win it, to put yourself in a position to put this team out, and you have 12 men on the field to give them another try at a field goal? Inexcusable. But you're kidding yourself if you're going to be upset about the defense over the course of the game. The offense turned the ball over in Denver territory multiple times, given Denver short fields. Now, granted, the first drive only resulted in a field goal. Thank God. But again, that's defense. But that's 3 points right there that if you're just talking about, I know this isn't how things work, but if you're just talking about, look at the score. We gave them 3 points. The Bills win that game without that first field goal. Then you talk about the interception just before the half, where they were able to sneak out another field goal. You do not give points to the other team and expect to win. You don't do it. I don't care how good the team is, how bad the team is. This is the NFL. If you lose the turnover battle, you're likely going to lose the game. And I talked about it last week. I'm going to talk about it again. Time of possession. When you turn the ball over, you cannot control the ball. 37 minutes for the Broncos to 22 for the Bills. 37 minutes for the Broncos to 22 for the Bills. So for all of you who want to complain about the defense not doing their job, put this in context. Put this in context. The defense were forced to stop the Broncos multiple times on our side of the field due to turnovers. The defense stopped them from scoring touchdowns and held them to field goals in situations where typically you would expect the Broncos to score a touchdown. And again, the defense is doing all of this without three of their best players. Without three of their best players. And then if you listen or if you watched, you read the article for Pregame Rumblings, I talked about how Russell Wilson may be not having the best season statistically when it comes to his career. But I also talked about how he's not as bad as people think. Coming into the game last night, he had 16 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. The game against the Chiefs, he only had 114 yards passing, but he had 3 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. And now you fast forward to this game here and look at it. 24 for 29, 193 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. No interceptions. And then you flip that over to the Bills side, where you have Josh Allen, 2 interceptions. 15 for 26, 177 yards. We were 3 for 8 on third down. Didn't convert the fourth down play that we tried. The Broncos had 19 third downs. That time of possession that I talked about, that means they controlled the game. Time of possession, turnovers. If you're losing both of those battles, I'm telling you, you're probably not going to win the game. And the crazy thing is the Bills were in the position to win the game. And Sean McDermott, listen, I love Sean McDermott. I've been a Sean McDermott supporter. I'll continue to be a Sean McDermott supporter. But at some point, can we get over this putting players in timeout like they're in fifth grade? James Cook fumbled on the first drive, first play, whatever, right? He was very easily your best offensive player. He has to hold on to the ball. He has to hold on to the ball. Just like last week, I talked about Dalton Kincaid. Great game. Has to hold on to the ball. And there's no excuses anymore about all of this stuff. No, he's a second-year player. Oh, Kincaid's a rookie. Josh is this. You can't think about holding on to the ball when you're doing flips in the air. Actually, I think that you can. And actually, I think that you should protect the ball when you're a running back. One play turned into a big play, but it could have been a disaster had the fumble not bounced right back to him. Hold on to the ball. But I got to give props where they're due. He was the best player on offense. So many drop passes. So many drop passes. One drop pass led to an interception because of Gabe Davis. Jeremiah Poyer seems to think that this guy is really going to be the wide receiver that he's been promised on us. I love Jeremy. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. And this is not to sit here and dunk on Gabriel Davis. But the fact is, to me, or the reality is when you look at Gabriel Davis's game, just like Bruce said last week on Hump Day Hotline, Gabe Davis is exactly who Gabe Davis showed you he is. There is nothing different about what Gabe Davis is putting on film this year versus years in the past. There's nothing different. He can't create much separation on the route tree. He's good at stretching the field. Those passes are more difficult because they're downfield. So you're going to have a higher chance of, you know, the play not being successful. We need a wide receiver too. Dalton Kincaid, I love everything I see from him. I love the emergence of Khalil Shakir. We need a wide receiver too. Thank you for my vent session. I'm not even going to talk of the conversation about whether or not I want McDermott or Dorsey fired. If you follow me on Twitter, I think you've seen exactly how I felt last night during the game. My guy, Matt Warren from SB Nation, he's a huge supporter of Ken Dorsey and the offense, and he talks about how the offense is this and how the offense is that. I tell you what the offense isn't. It's not good. It's not good. And I don't care what the DVOA stats show. I don't care about any of that stuff. They are not good. 0 points in the first quarter. Five and five. It's a long way up from here. Listen, I got a special guest. I got my brother Antoine joining me. We're going to talk a little bit about the Jets. He's going to let us know how the Jets looked this past week. Obviously, I'm sure everybody watched the game. He's going to talk about how he viewed the game last night, what he saw from the Bills, and what he thinks about the matchup now between the Bills and the Jets.
Ugh. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, football fans, the season is here, so you know that means family, football, and food. But for the NFL's best fan base, it can't be just any food. Bills Mafia only eats the best during the season, and the best is Picasso's Pizza. With four great locations in Western New York, it's so easy to treat yourself to the most flavorful pizza on game day. Picasso's, we are Buffalo Pizza, shipping local and nationwide. Order online at picassospizza.net. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got a friend of the show, my guy as usual, my man Antoine Staley. He wears many hats, so I don't even really, every time he comes on, I don't know how to really properly introduce him. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm good. I know we're not looking forward to this next upcoming weekend of games when it comes to the teams that we cover, but you covered the New York Jets for everyone who don't, or who you should know at this point, but for everyone who doesn't, he covers the Jets. And man, it's been a year. It's definitely been a year. I don't even know where to start, I guess. Well, you know what? Let's start last night, because last night, Monday Night Football, it's fresh on everybody's. Just what are your thoughts? I don't even know what that
is. You know what? Watching that game, it kind of reminded me of the Jets-Bills game week one, where I feel like Buffalo had a chance to win the game, and then it was just turnovers. And if it wasn't turnovers, it was bad play calling. So, I mean, everybody wants to blame Ken Dorsey, and I think it's a lot, has a lot to do with, you know, what the Bills are going on. Like, you watch them more every single week. I've watched a number of Bills games too, so you would probably have more insight than I would, but it seemed like the play calling has been not ideal at times. But also, Josh just hadn't played well. I mean, he's turning the ball over at a just historic rate. I mean, when you turn the ball over 3-4 times, you're like, you're not going to beat anybody. I don't care if it's, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs or, you know, the New York Jets or, in this case, the Broncos team that you're clearly better than on both sides of the football. But, yeah, you got to take care of the football. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And, yeah, he's not playing particularly well. We know how good Josh Allen is. I think, you know, he's obviously, I think, one of the best two, three best quarterbacks in the league. When he takes care of the football, he has a dynamic skill set, as everybody know. But, you know, when you give teams the opportunity like that, anybody can win in any given, you know, Sunday or Monday. So, yeah, I think they have a really big issue right now. And, you know, they got to be able to start. They got to start. It starts with taking care of the football first and foremost.
Man, I know, because this is going to be the conversation all week. I already know it. So the 12 men on the field, clearly egregious like that. Yes. You can't.
That's coaching.
Like, so I'm not, you cannot excuse that on any level.
Yes.
But throughout the game, prior to that point, am I crazy to think that the defense probably did enough, really? Like, because even to get to that point, you did enough to win the game, especially. Yeah. I guess I was just more disappointed in, you just talked about the turnovers. We turned the ball over and we set them up in their territory a couple times. Like, we just set, first drive of the game, set them up. Then Josh comes back, throws an interception, set them up. And it's just, I get it. Again, I'm you cannot excuse the 12 men on the field. But overall, like, for the game, I think I'm a whole lot less upset with the defense than I am the offense.
Yeah.
Do you get that? Like, if you were a Bills fan watching that game, is that the feeling that you would have?
Yeah. I mean, I think they did everything in their power to win the game. And then considering, you know, all the injuries that the Bills have on defense, I mean, I felt they played particularly well, especially considering the circumstances. It's just like you alluded to, when you're playing with a short field, I mean, you're going to let up points. That's just how I don't care what kind of defense you have. I mean, the Jets are kind of going through the same thing where, you know, they've been snake bitten with penalties. And then all of a sudden, or, you know, it might be, you know, Zach Wilson throwing an interception or whatever the case may be. But, yeah, they're not playing, the offense isn't playing particularly well. And then eventually, you know, you're going to give up some points, whether it be 3 or 7. So, I mean, I thought the Bills defense did everything they had to do as far as in order to win the game. Like you said, it's just, you know, you're playing with a short field like that. I mean, what more do you want them to do? I mean, you know, this is not like the 85 Bears or anything like that. They're not going to, you know, just hold teams to nothing. You're going to give up points, especially in this league where it's so offense-oriented. You just have to hope that, you know, it's, you know, 10 or 13 points instead of, you know, whatever it was like last night. But, yeah, I definitely think, you know, the defense played really well. I just think, you know, when you turn the ball over that many times, then you're going to lose. Like, no matter who you play. So that's what it is.
And Josh Allen deserves that blame, man. He
oh, yeah.
Like, I talk about, it's so frustrating because, and you know, we've done pods together now. We you know, built a friendship. I love Josh Allen. Like, there's no secret how much I love him. My fanhood comes out when I talk about Josh Allen. But dude, he's as good as he is. It's like they show this stat now. It seems like almost every game, where they'll show he leads the league in all touchdowns, you know, since he's come into the league, and he's only second to Cam Newton in rushing and passing touchdowns. And, like, they show this wonderful stat, and then they say, but on the flip side, and then they flip it over, and then he's leading the league in turnovers since 2018. And it's just, I feel like the one thing, if you're going to point to anything and say, this is the reason why, since the Bills have had the second or third best quarterback in the league, this is the reason why they don't have a Super Bowl. To me, it comes down to, you can't have the most turnovers in the league every year and expect to win. And that's just, and the fact that we've been winning at the rate that we have prior to this season is actually kind of like, it's unbelievable when you look at it contextually like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's context matters, but yeah, I mean, you got to be able to take care of the football. I mean, you got guys like, you know, Patrick Mahomes is a bit of a gunslinger too, but he also, you know, for the most part, take care of the football. You know, Joe Burrow as well. I mean, I understand that Josh has a different skill set to them, but still, like, you have to take care of the football. That is the most important thing, because when you give it up like that, then again, you set yourself up, no matter how good your defense is. I mean, you're going to break. You're going to give up touchdowns if the opposing offense is starting at the, you know, 40-yard line or whatever the case may be. Like, you're going to give up those yards, whether it be a field goal or a touchdown. So, yeah, they got to start taking care of the football. And then we saw it in the first Jets-Bills game. You know, the Bills should have won that game. We all know that. I mean, it was a, you know, great return by Xavier Gibson there. It really could have went either way. But, you know, even with that, I thought Buffalo, I mean, should have won that game despite the four turnovers by Josh Allen. But the fact of the matter is, when you let a team like that hang around, like the Denver Broncos or the Jets, you know, anything can happen. And we saw that. We saw that last night on Monday Night Football. We saw that week one against the Jets, too. You know, teams that even if you're better than the team, in a certain team. But, yeah, you got to be able to put them away and put them away early. Because when you give them an opportunity to hang around, then, you know, they can win. Anybody can win in this league.
And you know what? You just mentioned week one. And now that I think about it, now, obviously, in both games, I feel like 100% we lost the games because of Josh Allen. But then the biggest play of the game, essentially the last play of the game, or the second to last play of the game, I should say, you give up a big special teams play. So whether that be last night with, you know, with the penalty, or the first week where you get that big return out of nowhere and overtime, it's like, come on, man. Like, the fundamentals of football, whatever. Okay. The Jets, because I could sit here and I can be pissed off about the Bills all day, man. And I just.
Hey, this is therapy, man. This is good therapy for you.
It is, but it's just so frustrating, because it's like the things that I feel like we used to be great at, like the things that I would be able to brag about, you know, special teams, you know, we would always, you know, you would just see how dedicated they were to the fundamentals and doing things right and making sure that they stay in their lanes, and they made sure that, you know, and now it just seems sloppy on every level.
Yeah. And that's coaching. That's bad to coaching. McDermott deserves some blame too. I feel like, does. And I'm curious to hear your opinion about this, but, you know, he's wearing a CEO hat, but also being a defensive guy. So how much is that kind of taken away from, you know, him being just a total CEO? Because I think, like, when you're trying to wear multiple hats as a coach, I don't feel like you're ever dedicated. You dedicate yourself to just being the guy and just making sure everything is on your P's and Q's. So I think, yeah, you know, I think that's some part of the blame of what's going on too.
No, I think that's fair, 100%. And because the thing about McDermott that's getting me this year, and this probably is part of it, what you're saying. I think that, you know, I've always appreciated just how much of a leader he was, and like how much the team, every time the players kind of talked about McDermott, they talked about him past a coach. Like, you know, he loves us this way and he cares about us this way. And this season, I'm just not seeing or hearing any of that type of connection. And so I don't know if it's like he lost what made him a great coach, and then now he's trying to be a defensive coordinator again too much. And I don't know. To be honest, I don't know what the answer is, but I promise you, before this season, I was never on the side of even having a conversation of saying that McDermott, a replacement, could even, not even the conversation.
Yes. Correct.
At this point, I'm willing to have that Steve Kerr, Mark Jackson conversation. Like, is it that this guy was an architect that built, you know, he brought Josh here. He was able to draft, you know, Matt Milano and certain guys that's going to be key pieces to this team's success. But is he the guy to get us there? I don't know. Like, I'm having that conversation every week now.
I'll say this too. I mean, I think it's a little bit different circumstances than what happened at Golden State. I will say, I mean, he broke this playoff draw even before Josh got there. I mean, he helped break that. So, like, it's not like I don't think he's a product of Josh Allen. I think I've heard that kind of going around because, you know, obviously I follow a number of Bills fans, but, you know, I definitely think it's something to talk about, where it's like, have they hit their plateau? Has his team gone as far as he could take them? The alternative is, like, who do you bring in that can get this team over the top? I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, I know Jim Harbaugh will probably be available, but I don't know what, you know, his interest might be with Buffalo. I don't know what Buffalo's, you know, interest might be in him. But, yeah, they have to do something.
I hear a bunch of fans clamoring for Ben Johnson. And I'll be honest, obviously, I love the Lions and I love everything that I'm seeing from them. I personally don't know enough about Ben Johnson to say I want Ben Johnson as the next coach of the Buffalo Bills.
But is that a alternate? Oh, I mean, is that a good solution too? That's that, you know, is he going to get you over the top? I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns there too. I mean, you're just bringing in a guy that he might be good, But it's just the it's still an unknown too. It's still, I mean, you still don't know. It's the defense continue to, because you lose McDermott, you lose like what you, your identity on defense. So now you're going to have to find somebody that can, if Ben, let's say it was Ben Johnson, you're going to have to, he's going to have to bring in somebody that can help keep up that culture and, you know, what you build on defense. So I don't know. Like, you may be exchanging one problem for another. You may get a really good offensive guru, but your defense might end up sliding in that sense. So I don't know what the answer is either. I will say is he does need to hire a defensive. If he does remain, which I imagine he probably will, he needs to hire a defensive coordinator. Like, he just needs to go back to being the CEO guy. And as you also alluded to with special teams, they might need to make a change there, because you've lost two games due to special teams this year and a tight AFC where it's stacked, man. Like, you're gonna have to win 10 games to make the playoffs. That's why I keep that's why I tried to tell Jet fans weeks ago, 10 wins might not even get you in right now with the Texans playing well. The Bengals are like on the outside looking in right now, so
I mean, margin the margin for error playing well, you know, you got the Browns with the best defense in the league potentially, and people think play great, but he's playing better. And then you got, I mean, you're right, like the AFC, nobody thought Houston would be here.
Exactly.
Nobody thought, you know, the Jags, they lost this weekend, but the Jags are 6-3.
Yeah.
So again, what I was going to say is
with the Browns, everybody thought the Jets defense is really good. I think what the Browns currently are is what I think people thought the Jets would be. Like, a good team with a really good defense, even with Aaron, like a guy that would kind of see how he is going to be a quarterback and just tough, you know, relentless team. And then, but the Jets aren't that team. They're a little bit different, especially without Aaron. But yeah, Pittsburgh's still there, but it's tough, man. You got to win 10 games. And the margin for error for all of these other teams on the outside looking in, like Buffalo, like the Jets, you know, like Cincinnati, even now, is so slim that, yeah, like I say, 10 wins might not get you in. Like, and then we got 8 games left. Yeah, you got it's time to get things going. That's why this game is so critical on Sunday. The loser to me, especially, like I said, I don't think the Jets are going to win still, but I imagine it'd be a tough slugfest, like how all the Jets games have been, especially against Buffalo. Like, they play each other really well. They have very similar styles.
Well, let's talk about it, because one of the things that I brought up in my article about it is that I think going into this game, a lot of Bills fans would be, in, you know, on paper, every game we go into this and we say, oh, we're better than the Jets. We're going to beat the Jets. But the Jets defense plays the Bills offense very well. Like, even the games that we've won, it's been tough for Josh Allen to move the ball. It's been tough to score touchdowns through the air. I forget the stats now off the top of my head, but it like the last three games has been something like, you know, 6 interceptions to 3 touchdowns or something like that. So it's been a really rough time for Josh, even the games that we've won. Now the Jets just they just dropped a game to the Raiders.
They lost 2 straight too, actually.
Okay, so both teams coming into this basically in similar situations. And like you mentioned, I have to think that whichever team loses this game, really your playoff chances are over, right? Like, I know the Bills kind of have a game or half a game on the Jets, but still, I think if you get to 6 losses right now, it's going to be tough sledding. What's your so for the Jets, how do you see the Jets kind of attacking this game going into this weekend? Like, how do you – if you were Saylor, like, how would you be approaching this game for your team?
It's trying to score. Like, here's the thing with the Jets. They have not scored a touchdown at all in nearly 3 games, in 12 quarters. It's 11 quarters they've gone without scoring a touchdown. Like, dating back all the way to the game against the first quarter against the Giants, since that point, they won that game. I mean, again, they probably shouldn't have won, but they won. Like, they've not scored 8 offensive touchdowns. They have not scored an offensive touchdown at all. So that's, you got to get that to it cleared up somehow. Like, you got to find easy ways to get, you know, Zach Wilson going and in the running game as well, because, you know, you got a dynamic runner in Breece Hall. He should be touching the ball way more than what he does. I don't understand why, if it was me, they're acting like he is, this is week one and he's fresh off coming off an Achilles, I mean, an ACL injury. Like, run him to the ground. Like, your lives are at stake right now. Like, you got to win. Get the ball in your dynamic. Between him and Garrett, like, I would be giving them the ball just about all the time, because those are your playmakers. Those are the guys that that's really going to get this offense going. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, no disrespect to everybody else on the team or other offensive players, but they're your two best offensive players. I would trying to do whatever they do to get the ball in their hands quick as much as possible.
Well, I'm sorry to cut you off, but let me cut you off a second, because you just said they're acting like Breece Hall is like week one coming off of an injury. Let me remind you what he did week one coming off of a fresh ACL.
10 carries.
He had 127 yards against the Buffalo Bills in week one. He came back and he looked like Adrian Peterson's son. Like, what in the world is happening? And so now to think that over the last few weeks he has 28 yards. I can't be mad at the 50-yard game, but 28, 17, 39. You got to give this guy the ball.
Well, I think part of it is they know the Jets have no passing game whatsoever. And then teams are literally putting 8 and 9 in the box. So, I mean, it ain't even just with the running game. It's like, I get the ball in his hands passing. What they tend to do is, like, take him off the field on third down. I don't understand that. Like, just put him in there. Keep him in third down. He's a good pass catcher, too. And then as we saw in the Giants game, I think it was a 50-yard touchdown reception. That's their last touchdown. Get the ball in his hand as much as possible, whether it be in the passing game or also the running game. Same thing with Garrett. Got to get the ball in his hands too. I mean, Alan Lazard's been a disappointment there. I do like Tyler Conklin. CJ Uzama has been a bit of a disappointment too. He had really two big penalties in the game against the Raiders. One that wiped out a touchdown, which I thought might have put the game away early on for the Jets, but yeah, you got to get the ball in your playmakers as much as possible. That's what I would do. And just let your defense, you know, eat and try to keep a like play from ahead. Because when the Jets play from behind, you know, bad things tend to happen too. As good as their defense is, I mean, they're not a team that can play from behind very well.
But am I wrong in thinking, because you just mentioned some disappointment in some of the receivers there, and tight ends, but I just feel like for me, it's tough to be disappointed I can't take a shot at Zach Wilson, because I mean, I feel like he's a better player than he believes he is right now. Like, I feel like it's his mental, because I've seen him before. Like, when he first came into the league, he would take those chances, and I've seen him be a gunslinger in a way, like not full-on Josh Allen gunslinger, but I've seen him make some throws that's like, oh, this kid gonna be good for a long time, and now it's just not that quarterback. So, like, I think he's better than what he's playing, but right now he's playing like, you know, very scared. Like, he just won't even really take a chance on some of these throws. So I think it's tough from at least me. Is that how you see it too, or is it just because I don't know? I don't watch every game anymore because their offense is terrible.
They're literally telling him, from what I understand, not to lose the game for him because we have a really good defense and we have a running game. But you need him to make plays at times too. Like, don't be afraid of, like, you know, throwing the ball down the field or running. Like, this week, like, against the Raiders, he ran the ball, like, when he had to. Against the Chargers, he had a wide-open lane at one point, and then he was scared to run. He just, you know, threw the ball instead. And I'm like, dude, like, he's overthinking. It's like the coaching has got to him to the point where there's so much pressure on him to try to win. And then basically they're just telling him, you know, hold this up so Aaron can come back and then try to lead us to the playoffs. And then everything's just gotten in his head, and you could just clearly see it from time to time. So, you know, he doesn't take those chances, but you need quarterbacks to take chances. You can't just sit there and do dink and dunk in 5 yards every single play. I mean, yeah, you take what the defense is giving you, but if it's somebody that's wide open, like 20 yards down the field, or you think you have you got Garrett Wilson one-on-one with a defensive back or cornerback or safety, take that chance. Just throw it up there. You know, make sure it's not intercepted, but, you know, also give your receiver a chance to go up and get it. Like, remember week one, you know, he threw that fade in the corner of the end zone, and Garrett made that tremendous catch that had no business making. That's the play Garrett Wilson can make when you give him an opportunity to do that. I just don't feel like he's, you know, allowing his playmakers to make those plays for him.
Yeah, and everybody was excited. I mean, everybody outside of the AFC East, you know, outside of Jets fans, were excited about what Garrett Wilson was going to be this year because he had Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball. Like, I think we all know that Garrett Wilson at some point is going to get a quarterback throwing him the ball, and it's going to be fun to watch. The guy is talented. You know, it's going to be really fun
and passionate
to watch.
Passionate, too. He wants to win, too. I think after the Raiders game, like, you can see how much this is killing them. Like, they're losing, and they're not scoring points. Like, he's literally like on the verge of tears because he's upset and angry that the Jets are just so much. They're not playing well on offense, and they've lost two straight, and they know what it is. They see the walls kind of caving in a little bit. that's why I'm curious to see how this game is going to go. Because, I mean, if the Jets lose, they got Miami on a short week on Black Friday, too. So this is a critical 2 weeks. I mean, they lose both of these games. They're going, they're walking into December 4-7. And I don't see any scenario at that point. Why bring Aaron Rodgers back? You still have to play the Texans. You got to play the Dolphins again. And, oh, yeah, you got a game against the Browns on Thursday night on a short week and go to Cleveland, you know, in the end of December. So this could start to unravel very quickly if they're not careful.
Well, let's wrap it up, man. I kept you a little bit longer than I said I would. So I
ain't good, man. We usually do. Because we have a lot to talk about.
We talk and we get going. Well, I asked you how the Jets would attack this game. So if you're Sean McDermott for this game, knowing what you know about the Jets, what are you saying to your team? Like, obviously the obvious, don't turn the damn ball over. That's the first. But then outside of that, what are you preaching this week going into this game if you're Sean McDermott to match up against these Jets?
Run the ball, because the Jets' deep rush defense has not been good. They've been letting up big plays running the ball. They're, I believe, the 30th in rush defense right now. So there's Achilles heel with the Jets is their rushing defense. And then them losing Al Woods, I mean, you wouldn't think, you know, Al Woods would be a big loss. But, you know, a 340-pound man of your defense mm-hmm. in the middle of your line like that, who's been a run stopper throughout his career, you know, that's a big loss. And then they have not been able to replace him. You know, we saw Josh Jacobs was able to eat, you know, a lot of rushing yards last week there. Also think they have a problem like stopping quarterbacks that are able to run. So if I was them, I'd get Josh ready to use his legs too, you know, try to create some dynamic plays as well. And that's why I think they need to be doing more too. I mean, you got a little guy that's a playmaker. Like, have him, I don't want him like leaping over people at his age, like him getting over, right. But you need to use his legs. I mean, he has a dynamic skill set that I think a lot of quarterbacks would kill to have. Like, get him out in space, man. You know, he could take it to the house at any time. So, yeah, that's what I would do.
You know, Patrick Mahomes has more rushing yards this season than Josh Allen?
Yeah, that's bomb-boggling, right?
That's insane.
I don't understand. Like, this is the game they need to get his legs going. Like, the Jets have trouble stopping mobile quarterbacks. Like, get him going. And I think in turn, that will open up the passing game for Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. And, you know, Dalton Kincaid, too. He was a monster. I loved him coming out. I think we talked about that, too. And I don't think the Jets, I mean, as good as the Jets defense is, I mean, you have some playmakers there that can make some plays, too. So, yeah, I think I would use the running game to kind of set up the pass, too, as well. So, and then defensively, I mean, just key in on Breece Hall. Like, make sure that he's not the one that beat you. If you're able to do that and then get an early lead, then you're forcing Zach Wilson to, you know, play from behind. And then, as we kind of saw in the Raiders game, sometimes bad things can happen. You know, he can get, you know, in his head and also turn the ball over. So, if I'm Sean McDermott and the Bills, that's my game plan going into the week. Making sure I get the running game going, especially with Josh, and also, you know, try to pin their ears back and then get after Zach Wilson.
All right, I hear you. I mean, you talk about that defensive line. I tell you what, I think Bills fans can relate. Losing Daquan Jones has probably been the biggest loss of the year. And I'm saying that with respect to Matt Milano, with respect to Trey White, like two all-pro players. But Daquan Jones, he was the difference on that defensive line. So I think I get what you're saying. But I'm nervous about Breece Hall. I'm nervous. You know what I'm nervous about? I think that Dalvin Cook is going to have his best game of the season next week, because that's what happens against the Buffalo Bills. Like, we always go against these guys and it's like, oh, the biggest game they had all season is against the Buffalo Bills. And I just don't get it. And it's just like, man, it's so frustrating. So I'm actually very concerned about the run offense.
I'll just say this real quick. Like, the Jet, like, Dalvin Cook had two really good runs against the Raiders and then they never gave him another carry. I don't understand that. I'm like, he had a 7-yard run and a 9-yard run, and then he never got another carry. And I'm like, why didn't he get more touches? Like, he clearly had something going. Like, just keep feeding him the ball. I mean, you don't have to give him as much as Breece, but, you know, clearly something was working with Dalvin. Like, why go away from that? So, I don't know. Like,
to me, the Jets have the perfect 1-2 combination. Like, you would think. Like, you got Breece Hall that can be your guy, and then you got Dalvin Cook coming in to switch carries off when Breece Hall is tired. No, and they're just not using that properly. You would just think that. And what about I don't watch them enough. Have you seen like two back sets where both guys have been on the field?
Very rarely, but yeah, I would. That's what I would use. I would use like a pony, like to kind of take a old school reference from SMU when Eric Dickerson was there. But yeah, I would use both of them in the backfield at times. That way, you know, get again, you're creating matchups, you know, defensively. So that's just what I would. I know Dalvin hasn't had the year that I think a lot of people expect, but still, I mean, you know, I think also a lot of it goes to like he didn't have necessarily have a training camp either. So I think now he's starting to get going and everything.
He also doesn't have the opportunity, though. If you go and look at his carries, I mean, it's tough to get anything going when you're getting three carries, two carries, five.
He did early on because they had a pitch count on Breece, and then they took that pitch count away, and then Dalvin, you know, even his, like you said, he's not able to get into a rhythm, and I think that's kind of what he said, too, as well.
Okay. And I know you covered a team. I guess me watching it, so like week one, I get it, he had like the 13 carries, but like it's tough because after that he had 4, 8, 5, 6. You know, he didn't have a ton of carries. And that week one, I just mentioned like how Breece Hall went off. He had 100+ yards. So like, yeah, the 13 carries, it might not look great, but I don't know. We'll see. I think the
both of these teams have questions. Offensive coordinator, put it that way.
Yeah. That was just where I was about to go. Like overall, I don't think either team is using their best players to the best of their abilities.
Correct.
So, now you mentioned you think the Bills are going to win this game. Do you think it's going to be like one of those tough defensive ones? At DraftKings, we opened up as Bills being favored at 6.5 points. How do you feel? Like, you think it's going to be one of those games where it's like a field goal, or it's going to be, you think they'll cover?
I think the Bills will get a touchdown late. I think I could see it like 20-13 Buffalo, like somewhere around there. So yeah, I think it's going to be tough out fast. And yeah, I think Buffalo pulls away late.
All right. Well, I'm hoping, man. Like, we can't lose this game. We just can't. So, well, look, we're gonna get on out of here, man. Why don't you go ahead and plug? I know you got your show with the Believe Network. You got your articles that you drop every week. You do a lot. So go ahead and just plug your work, and then we'll get on out of here.
Best place to find me is Antoine Staley on X, Twitter. Also, like my work at the New York Daily News covering NFL and mostly Jets stuff too. Or as you alluded to as well, I have a podcast called the Bat Page Breakdown. Airs every Tuesday and Thursday on the Believe Network. So you can find me there, all your whatever you subscribe to as far as podcasts. So yeah, man, it was good. Thank you for having me on, man. It's always good to chop it up with you and have a good time.
Yeah, no, for sure. We used to, everybody who don't know, which I feel like everybody listening will know, Twan was on Chop Up last season with me basically all year, but both of us this year, it didn't even happen purposely like this. It just kind of happened where Sterles and Jeremy just kind of ran with the show, and we both just kind of fell back. But we got to get back to kind of doing just some more. I don't know if it's maybe some spaces on Twitter or X or whatever call it, or even just jumping on a show like this here and now, But yeah, we got to get back to it.
Yeah, we will. We definitely will. But yeah, we'll talk about it like offline. But yeah, man, we definitely have to do it again soon.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, y'all know how to do it. It's Buffalo Rumblings. It's your boy, Jay Spencer King. Y'all love each other, take care of each other, and live in peace. And as always, stay positive, test negative. I can't even say that. That's how mad I am. Stay positive, test negative. Go, Bill. Code of conduct.